We would like to welcome now to the program two individuals from Interfaith Works. Let me bring them in and get them on here. We're pleased to be joined by Twiggy Ure. She's the Director of Diversity and Inclusion for Crowds Health and co-pastor of the Promised Land Church and co-chair of the Duck Race to End Racism. And Pete Wilner is the Director of the El Hindi Center for the Dialogue at Interfaith Works. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, George.
So glad to have you both. Pete, let me start with you as the director of the El Hindi Center for Dialogue at Interfaith Works. We'll talk a little bit about the Duck Race to End Racism, which will have a different twist this year. But Pete, tell us a little bit about the El Hindi Center for Dialogue at Interfaith Works.
Sure. Thanks, George. The El Hindi Center for Dialogue was formed in 1995, and it's considered to be one of the longest-running ending racism programs in the country, based right here in Syracuse. What we do when we talk about dialogue is it's not another word for a conversation. For us, it's a very structured process. It's a way for us to have a diverse group of people really connect with each other and talk very deeply about issues that can be very hard to talk about, like racism in our community. We don't just jump into it, though. We build trust. We build, I think, bravery among the group to be able to have a hard conversation. And then we dive in, and it's all predicated on the talking about race and racism doesn't ordinarily happen. And if we're going to make a difference and change things, we have to be talking about it.
Yeah, Pete, and speaking of talking about it, obviously we're talking about it now because we know that this pandemic, and Twiggy, we know that this pandemic has disproportionately impacted the African-American community and other communities of color. And also, we've noticed that there has been some backlash, especially around, we've seen it against Asian immigrants and Chinese immigrants in particular, not Chinese immigrants, Chinese individuals in this community. I'm trying to say immigrants, but I mean people who are Chinese in this country have been attacked randomly in some parts of our community. And also, but then on the other side in Asia, you're seeing that they're blaming Africans in their country for spreading the pandemic. And all of that, just in terms of the disproportionality, Twiggy, and as a pastor, and obviously not being able to hold services. I mean, there's a whole lot we could do with you, Twiggy, on this because, right. So my mind is racing because there's so much here on the table. But just about the whole disproportionality and the impact on our community.
Sure, George. As I sit and I watch television and read articles, the evidence says that African Americans are dying at a much alarming rate from coronavirus in the United States than whites or any other ethnic group. And there's many studies out there that's being done right now, but Black Americans represent 13.4% of the American population, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. And in a recent article that came across on CNN that was conducted by four state universities, they stated that counties with higher Black populations account for more than half of all COVID-19 cases and almost 60% of deaths from COVID-19. So it is quite alarming, George, when you talk about, the population of Black Americans. And I believe that there's a myriad of social and pre-existing conditions like access to quality health care that has led to many underlying health concerns pre-COVID. Disparities of services available to people of color, for example, lack of information shared in communities of color, and also COVID-19 availability to testing. So all of these things actually are contributing factors as to why we're seeing these disproportionately high numbers.
Yeah, and one more thing is I have you here. Obviously, there's a lot of concern. I'm going to now have you turn on your pastor hat. There's a lot of concern about churches reopening. What's your stance on whether you should be able to hold services today?
Well, George, the church has never been closed. Let's make sure we understand. The church is the physical bricks and mortar, the building. I'm sorry, the building is not the church. The building is bricks and mortar. The church are the people of God, right? So we've never closed the church. You know, we're still about transforming and saving lives. So as far as going back into the building, I think it's all about safety. I think if you look at our numbers in our county and you look at numbers across the nation, you will see that COVID is still with us, that COVID is still here. So we must watch as well as pray as the body of Christ. And, you know, the church will always be essential. You know, the place we may go may be closed, but the church has not walked away from our purpose. We have not walked away from touching and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others. So I believe that, you know, what's the best for us right now to do, what's best for the church, and what's best for our community is to make sure that we're using all safety precautions. We're listening to those in leadership. We're listening to our governor. We're listening to the pastoral council advisory team that our governor has put in place to make sure that, you know, we don't experience it more loss than what we've already experienced. You know, like I know, George, that the church has suffered great loss during this time. So this is our season to watch as well as pray and to use wisdom. And that's where we are, at least at the Promised Land Church.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, Pete. And certainly, you know, in terms of the interfaith piece to this, you know, obviously, is Ramadan over or is it still going on?
I believe it's still going on.
Right. So we're still, you know, so we're in Ramadan. So we have so many different ways that people are looking at faith today. And that's the goal of the El-Hindi Center for Dialogue, is to encourage us to have interfaith conversations. As someone who has been at the dinners, dinner dialogues, one day that'll be resume, I hope, and also creating conversations through the dialogue series. Talk about that, Pete, as well, the dialogue series and how people have been able to cross boundaries and renew their understanding there.
Sure. Yeah, thank you. And I just want to do a quick correction. It looks like Ramadan ended yesterday.
Oh, okay. Yesterday. So we're right here. So Eid al-Fitr then is the celebration of the ending of Ramadan. So there you go. All right.
So the dialogue series, George, just to begin, is it takes a lot of different forms. So the dialogue program's about 1,500 to 2,000 people a year go through them. And so they're based in schools, they're based in colleges and universities. We've been doing police community dialogue, and we have been doing dinner dialogues, interfaith dinner dialogues, and interfaith dialogue programs. And so, and the core of what we do is always ending racism. But it's how do we take time to, you know, get to know each other, to hear each other's stories, to hear our differing perspectives on things. I think when it comes to matters of faith and spirituality, there's a lot we don't know about how each of us worships and the different forms that can take, and how do we kind of begin to learn and hear about the ways that our faith and spiritual backgrounds are similar to each other. You know, we have common messages of love and compassion and accepting the stranger, and then we also have very different ways that we worship and different thoughts that we have. You know, when we do these programs, the core of it always is how do we get to those. I guess the dialogue program for us, we don't shy away from having a hard conversation or shy away from conflict. And it's not that we're out to call people names, but the idea is that from conflict comes growth, comes learning. And so how can we kind of share these deeply felt personal views and begin to learn from each other and accept each other and, you know, kind of grow together and see ourselves as being, I think, part of, Dr. King's beloved community.
Yeah, and, you know, I've had a chance to be a part of a particular dialogue that I was very pleased with, which is one that was around police community relationships, where we had a chance to sit with officers who were, you know, working officers and community. This was at a time when there were a number of incidents here in our community and also around the country. And what the purpose of that dialogue circle was to take a look at our Syracuse Central New York community and round up a few folks and have real conversations straight up with police officers in order to improve dialogue, right? It's not just around interfaith, but it's also intercommunity, wouldn't you say, Twiggy?
Absolutely, absolutely. I believe that, you know, the work that the El Hindi Center for Dialogue, the team that put together is doing is so vital. And it's not just for the folks that you think would need it, but it's for anybody that's interested in being able to relate to one another more clearly. So.
Yeah, and I know one of the ways that you do that, of course, is through the Duck Race to End Racism. And you're the co-chair this year. And one of the and look at you, you get to do something that has never been done with the Duck Race.
That's right. Well, say that sounds like the mantra of my life.
So let's talk about what the Duck Race to End Racism is before we talk about what's new this year.
Well, yeah. What I love about it. Oh, go ahead, Pete. You do this, and then I'll wrap it up.
Okay. Yeah. So what the Duck Race to End Racism is it's an annual event. It's in its 18th year this year to celebrate the diversity of Central New York. And it's in a typical year, it'd be at the Syracuse Center Harbor. You know, weather like this, it would be always weather like this, right? It's a free, family-friendly community festival. We normally have a couple thousand people there. And it's the idea that we're going to represent the vision of a community where racism no longer exists and really celebrate together. This year, it's going to, because of social distancing restrictions and wanting to be safe and respect that, we're going to move that to a virtual platform.
And so how will that work this year, Twiggy?
Well, what we're doing is right now, if you visit the interfaithworkcny.org website, we're actually moving right now. It's a multi-week approach that will culminate with live video on Saturday, June 27th. So you can actually get involved right now by going to interfaithworkcny.org, and you'll see a page that actually has a great display of the Duck Race in action right now virtually. So again, the Duck Race this year will bring together the community, including families, nonprofits, faith communities, corporate sponsors together. There's at-home projects for youth, virtual entertainment, online engagement opportunities, just a plethora of different things that we have going on. And again, it's all going to point us. We're all going to paddle until we get to Saturday, June 27th, and it's going to be a great time. So we're really looking for the community to get involved.
Now, for people that don't know about this event and what's happened in the past, Pete, describe what happened in the past, which makes this year so unique in terms of the Duck Race.
Yeah, so what happens is, you know, people I guess, always start by asking, where do you get Duck Race from? And the idea really came from that we shouldn't duck the conversation about racism. We shouldn't avoid it. And so, you know, when it got formed many, many years ago, kind of the brilliant people who came up with the Duck Race, including our president and CEO, Beth Broadway, decided to have the duck as a mascot and to create this event as a celebration of people who had been through dialogue. And so all these ducks, we have corporate and youth groups who decorate decoy-sized ducks, and they decorate them in a way that represents diversity, in a way that represents, you know, kind of their corporate mission or what they think about race and racism as youth groups. And we float them down Onondaga Creek into the Inner Harbor, and winners get prizes, and there's duck judging, and then we sell $5 raffle tickets, which you can buy at the website, that Twiggy mentioned, and each one of those is a little tiny bathtub-sized duck. And in a normal year, we'd have thousands of those floating down Onondaga Creek for a chance to win win community prizes. And that's going to happen this year. We're selling tickets. All the while, we have entertainment. We have nonprofits tabling. We have fun family activities. We have food. And so So it's normally a 4-hour event that's really quite a celebration of diversity.
And once again, I have to say that I have been a part of that too.
You've been a wonderful MC.
You're everywhere, George.
I've been an MC. And the funny thing is, you know, I don't even know how many years I have been involved in, you know, sort of hosting, right? But there's only two times that I do not participate. And Karen Franklin was teasing me about that because she and I would split the duties. And it's because it would always fall in the weekend of my birthday. And so I would say, can't do it that day. Sorry. So whenever it was on June 10th, it didn't happen for me. And so I remember when I used to get the calls like, well, it's birthday year. So that happened twice. But other than that, I was happy to share the stage. As a matter of fact, here's a funny, like, unrelated story. It was at the duck race that I met my trainer, JT Houston, and the rest is history.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I saw them doing it. I was like, man, I could really get into that. And I'll have to say,
and you did.
I did, right? And that's about 6 years ago. And let's say the rest, they say, is history. And I went on a great fitness journey with them. But it was at the duck race that I met him. And so I would say, just in terms of community, right, you never know who you're going to run into at the duck race. And Pete, one thing that has occurred to me is I'm listening to you all talk about ducking racism because you can't. Here's what people say all the time. You know, it's not about race. Why does everything have to be about race? And or how do you start a conversation about race, right? Because there's no clean way to do it that's not going to hurt somebody or step on somebody's toes. At least that's what's been said. Or you have an environment, especially from this current administration in the White House, that tries to pretend like it never, ever happened. So what would you say, even the two of you, as we close, what you would say about how to begin an uncomfortable conversation to get to a place of comfort?
Yeah, I think for me, I think it's really on the basis of how do you get to know somebody better? Mm. And, you know, you don't just jump right into it, at least in my experience. You know, I was co-facilitating with a man of color just recently, a black man, and we were in a group that was having a hard time kind of talking about race. And so it eventually came where he and I had to model how to have a conversation. And his children are in, you know, multiracial families. So I kind of just asked him, what was the wedding like? And, you know, and we got kind of talking and opening up the conversation about that. But, you know, it has to be on the basis of relationships, I think, and getting to know people before you can just jump right in. And I think a lot of times people make the mistake and they want to just jump in. So that's what I would say.
Right. But find areas of commonality before we get to the hard stuff is what you're basically saying.
Yeah.
Right. Because we all have things in common. Well, one of the things we have in common, right, is opportunity to celebrate diversity. And I know, and that's your job every day, right? In addition to being a co-pastor.
That's right.
And so, you know, you're there to promote this opportunity and, of course, promote the work of the El Hindi Center for Dialogue. So anything you want to add to what Pete said, and also tell us about how we can get involved with the virtual duck race to end racism, which culminates in a virtual event on June 27th.
Sure. Well, you know, George, you know, when I think about people in general, everyone deserves to be treated with dignity and respect. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're seeing, and I love what Pete said, you know, we have to learn each other better. You know, we have to lean in and learn, right? And what COVID-19 and other alarming stories like Mr. Barry, Arbery, what happened to him.
Mm-hmm. Ahmaud Arbery.
You know,
Yeah,
and you know, and it makes. I think we're tired. I think people in general, in particular, people of color, are tired. While we're praying and doing all that we can do, you know, I believe that these conversations, if not a better time than now, this is the time we need to start having them. And I think we have to be transparent about it. We have to be honest about our feelings, our emotions, and then have these conversations in safe places. And that's what I love about the work that they're doing at Interfaith Works and these dialogues. They provide you with this space where you can come in and actually begin to have these tough conversations.
All right. So
as to help.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just saying that. And to help with that, you know, that's why we have the duck race. All proceeds from the duck race actually go and they benefit the dialogue the sessions that are put together. And again, you can visit interfaithworkcny.org for more information on the 18th annual duck race. Lots of virtual activities will be taking place through June 27th. So please, we're also selling duck tickets this year. And again, all proceeds will go towards the dialogue.
Great. Well, we're so glad that it's going to happen this year because you can't duck racism. Interfaith Works, Duck Race to End Racism, benefiting the L. Hindi Center for Dialogue at Interfaith Works. Pete Wilner is the director of the L. Hindi Center for Dialogue, and Twiggy Yore is the co-chair of the Duck Race to End Racism, and she's also the director and of diversity and inclusion at Crouse Health and the co-pastor of the Promised Land Church, reminding you that the church has never been closed.
Never.
Twiggy, the church has never been closed.
Ever.
Oh,
and George, let me also say, just for the record, in that this is a virtual duck race.
Yes.
Crouse Health duck came in first last year, so technically we still hold that title for 2020.
Oh, you just want to throw that in there. All right. Shout out to Crouse Health and all the folks there doing that. Pete and Twiggy, and of course, Beth Broadway, CEO of Interfaith Works. Shout out to all of the work that you are all doing in the first CNY, interfaithworkcny.org, for more information about the Duck Race to End Racism. And continue doing this great work ending racism.
Thank you, George.
All right, Twiggy, Pete Wilner, thank you so much. Inspiration for the Nation, the Duck Race to End Racism, interfaithcny.org for more information about the work that they're doing. And by the way, purchase your tickets. Again, the work that they do helps to change our community.